In Genesis chapter 4, we read of the descendants of Cain for 8 generations, up almost until the time of the flood in Noah's day, with a special emphasis on wicked Lamech, the 7th from Adam. In chapter 5, we read of 10 generations of godly Seth, with special emphasis upon Enoch, the 7th from Adam. The Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God, but so did his great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam and his great-great-grandson Noah. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious, eternal, wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the account that's given to us in Genesis chapter 5 of godly Enoch who walked with you. We pray that you would bless us today as we seek to understand what it means to walk with God so that we also, as believers today, might walk with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the Word of God. I'm reading today from Genesis chapter 5 and one verse from Genesis chapter 6. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now from chapter 6, verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his wonderful blessing to our reading and understanding of it this day. Adam walked with God in the garden. Genesis chapter 5 opens with the words of a new book of the genealogy of Adam, or an account of the life and the descendants of Adam. Now, notice that this is called a book here in Scripture, which is indicating that written language existed from the very beginning of creation. It was not something that was developed many years after evolution had taken place, but rather Adam was able, and probably Adam himself wrote down a number of these things that we find here in the book of the genealogy of Adam. That word book can mean anything from a long, large document to one single page. But here we have the book of the genealogy of Adam. The chapter begins by recapping the account of creation of man in the garden. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them man in the day they were created. So the Bible reminds us of a number of things here that were mentioned back in chapter 1 and chapter 2. It reminds us that man was created in the likeness of God and that man was created binary, male and female. That God blessed this first couple, Adam and Eve, that he named them together man or mankind in the day that he created them. As the image and the likeness of God at creation, man was perfect. He was perfect in knowledge, he was perfect in righteousness, and he was perfect in holiness. He walked with God literally in the Garden of Eden, having perfect fellowship and perfect uninterrupted communion with God until the fall into sin. He saw God face to face in a way that no sinner since the fall can ever do. And so prior to the fall, Adam's walk with God was one of uninterrupted joy and delight and fellowship with his Creator. The two were one in sinless holiness, the creature and his Creator. Adam's walk with God in holiness prior to the fall is similar to Jesus' walk with his Father throughout his life. But there is a difference. Adam's sinless walk with God ended the day that he fell. Jesus never sinned and continued sinless forever. With the fall into sin, Adam's walk with God was radically altered. He lost his original righteousness. He lost his original knowledge, sinless knowledge, and he lost his original holiness so that he became corrupted in body and soul. His knowledge was now tainted by sin. His righteousness became an unrighteousness, and instead of holiness, Adam became unholy. No longer was he able to dwell in the presence of Almighty God because of his sin. And therefore, he was no longer permitted to stay in the garden. He was cast out by God. But note, Adam was not cast away by God. God reclaimed Adam and Eve by cleansing their sins with the blood of sacrificial animals when he made tunics for them from those animal skins. He covered their sins with those skins, indicating the covering of our sins and their sins by the righteousness of his Son to come, Jesus Christ. And he taught them the principles of penal substitutionary atonement, pointing them forward to Christ, who was the seed of the woman to come, who would be their Redeemer and our Redeemer. Adam also walked with God outside the garden. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Outside of the garden, Adam and Eve set about to fulfill the command that God had given them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with their children. But their firstborn son, Cain, killed their secondborn son, Abel. And then he fled from their presence. And it was not until, as the Bible says here, 130 years later, that God gave them the godly replacement for Abel who had been slain. Now, this does not mean that between that time of the death of Abel and the time of the birth of Seth, that Adam and Eve had no other children. Most likely they did, because of the account that we read in Genesis chapter 4 of Cain marrying his wife, which would have had to have been one of the daughters of Adam and Eve. And so most likely they continued to have children, but there was not a child who was named as the seed who was the replacement for Adam in the line of the seed of the woman. And that came 130 years later. So Adam's walk with God outside the garden is very much like our walk, also outside the garden, today. It was a walk of faith in God, whom he could no longer see face to face. It was a walk of trust in the promises of Almighty God. It was a walk of long waiting for fulfillment of those promises to come to pass. Adam and Eve had to wait 130 years until the promised seed was born. So he waited, and during that he walked with God for that entire time period. And then the Bible tells us that after the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years, and he walked with God during that time without ever seeing the promised seed, who would be the Lord Jesus Christ, though he believed in the promise of Christ coming. He and Eve had many, 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 many other sons and daughters during this time, and they were blessed by God. Adam lived up until the time of Lamech. He died when Lamech, the father of Noah, was 56 years old. Adam lived to a good old age of 930 years. And then he died. Death came to Adam as God had proclaimed to him, "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Adam died spiritually on that day. And 930 years later, Adam died physically as well. Death came to Adam. Death came to all the descendants listed in chapter 5, with one exception. That exception is Enoch. Enoch walked with God on this earth. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. In the genealogies listed here in Genesis chapter 5, we read in the account of each life, except Enoch, the final words, "and he died." Paul tells us in the New Testament that death reigned from Adam until Moses. He mentions this in Romans chapter 5, verse 14, "even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the transgression of Adam." And what he means by that, I think, is had not sinned against a direct and express command of God: "Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Death was the end that came to all of the men listed in Genesis chapter 5, with the exception of Enoch. Enoch is mentioned as begetting Methuselah when he was 65 years old, and then of walking with God for another 300 years. But what does it mean to walk with God as Enoch did? First of all, it means that Enoch walked with God by faith. This is not speculation. We know that this is true because the New Testament tells us that it is true. He was a believer in the seed to come. He was a believer in the seed of the woman, and therefore he was a believer in the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come. We know that he was because Hebrews chapter 11 confirms that he was. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, the Bible tells us that Enoch pleased God through faith. Enoch trusted in the Lord and he sought Him diligently all the days of his life. That is what it means to walk in faith as Enoch did. Enoch walked with God in obedience as well. Enoch was a sinner, just as you and I are sinners. He was born into a world that was filled with sin. He was born as a sinner, and he was not saved at all by his works whatsoever. But sometime during that lifetime, Enoch came to faith in God and walked with God in faith and also in obedience. He gave evidence of his faith by the obedience to God's expressed commands that he knew. He trusted God's word and he followed God faithfully. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on the whole Bible, said this about walking with faith. To walk with God is to set God always before us and to act as those who are always under his eye. It is to live a life of communion with God both in ordinances and providences. It is to make God's word our rule and his glory our end in all of our actions. It is to make our constant care and endeavor in everything to please God and nothing to offend him. Enoch also walked with God in prayer. Enoch was a sinner saved by grace, just like you and me. He spoke to God in prayer as we are commanded to do. Enoch followed the command that would be given many years later in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. God heard and answered Enoch's prayers, as he does throughout the Bible for his saints, as he does today for the people of God through Christ. Enoch walked with God also in agreement with his holy will. We're told by the prophet Amos in chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so Enoch agreed with God in God's teaching. What happened for that to take place is Enoch had to have an intimate walk with God of loving fellowship with him. He loved what God loved and he hated what God hated. He modeled his life on the Word of God that was revealed to him through the prophecies that he himself received and also through the Word that was passed down to him in the godly line of faith. Enoch walked with God in bold witness as well. The New Testament tells us in the book of Jude that Enoch was a prophet and that he boldly proclaimed God's judgment that was to come upon wicked sinners. Jude verses 14 and 15 say, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men," and in the context of Jude, this is sinners who reject the Lord, "also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." While Enoch was prophesying of the coming judgment of God in the flood in Noah's day, Jude applies it to the coming judgment of God when Jesus returns from heaven in flaming fire with his saints and his angels. So whether Enoch consciously knew that he was referring to the flood or to the second coming of Christ, he boldly proclaimed that God was coming as judge to judge sinful men for their sinful rejection of the holy and true God. And finally, Enoch walked with God all his life long. He had total commitment to God throughout his life. He walked with God until the time came when he took his last step on earth, and the very next step was in heaven. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him, the Bible says. Enoch was the first of only two men in Scripture to enter into heaven without dying. We know that the proper understanding of, and he was not, for God took him, is given to us in that passage we read from Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. One writer put it this way in his commentary. We can imagine Enoch walking with the Lord in sweet conversation when suddenly the Lord said, "Why don't you come to join me forever in heaven?" At that moment, Enoch was gone. The only other man in Scripture to enter into heaven directly apart from death was the prophet Elijah. Elijah was taken into heaven on a whirlwind and in a flaming chariot of fire. 2 Kings chapter 2 tells us this. Then it happened as they, talking about Elijah and the one he had anointed to follow after him, Elisha, continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. There are a couple of interesting facts about Enoch and Elijah. Enoch lived and prophesied about halfway between Adam and Abraham. And Elijah lived and prophesied about halfway between Abraham and Jesus Christ. One writer, in talking about these two men, speculated. Now, this is speculation, but it certainly is an interesting speculation, that these were the two men who appeared at the open tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ when the women came on Sunday morning to anoint Christ's body, that there were two there. Yes, in one passage they're called angels, but don't forget that the word angel can also speak of an earthly messenger as well as a heavenly messenger. And so in Revelation chapter 2, the angels of the churches are the ministers, the preachers of the various churches that are listed there in Revelation. So angels could indeed be human beings who are messengers sent from God to announce the resurrection of Christ to the women. Also, these could be the two men who stood by looking up into heaven as Jesus ascended into heaven and who prophesied to the disciples that he would come back in the same way that they had seen him depart. After all, who would know what it is like to ascend directly into heaven than Enoch and Elijah? Now, whether or not this speculation is true, it certainly is interesting to consider it. But the question remains, why did God take Enoch into heaven without his dying? Perhaps the reason he did so was because, though the promise is a general promise that death comes to all men because all have sinned, yet there is deliverance from death through faith in the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus himself prophesied in John chapter 11. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? There will also come a final day when those who are alive on this earth, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be caught up into the air at his second coming to be with the Lord, and will enter into his presence also without having to pass through physical death. So Enoch stands as a testimony to his generation and to our generation that God is true to his people and that God is faithful to his word of promise. Noah also walked with God. The third man who in this section that we're looking at in chapter 6 is said to have walked with God is Noah. He was given the name Noah by his father. That name means rest. And in naming him Rest, what his father Lamech was doing, perhaps, was indicating that he thought that through Noah, God would provide rest for the godly seed from the temptations and persecutions and troubles and trials that were coming upon them from the ungodly line of Cain and the unregenerate men and women in the line of Seth. And so this was a promise of rest from wicked persecution. Now, little did Lamech know when he named Noah Rest that only a few of Noah's family would enter into that rest that he was speaking of. But it still was a belief that rest was to come for the people of God. Now, of course, that rest is not provided by Noah. That rest is provided by Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it is the rest that we find in Christ, which is rest from the curse of sin and rest in His salvation that we have today. And ultimately, that is what Noah pictured through his naming and through the section dealing with the ark and the flood. But for Lamech, the rest of Noah was from the constant influence, the constant attacks of the wicked line of Cain and the unregenerate men and women in the line of Seth. And God did confirm that Noah was given a form of rest. In fact, it's through the ark that God carried Noah and his family completely through the judgment upon the whole earth and delivered them into a cleansed world. But this is one thing we will learn as we study the flood. The judgment of God in the flood did not cleanse the heart of sinful man from his sin. For the sons of Noah continue sinful people, as we will see. We skip ahead to chapter 6, and I read from verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. He was a just man. Noah was just. He was righteous. Once again, that righteousness is not his own. That righteousness is a righteousness by faith in the Redeemer to come. Noah was one of the line of the seed of the woman who believed in the promise of the seed of the woman to come, who would be the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood out in his day as one among a handful of people who were believers in the true God. Noah was perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, the Bible says. So perfection is attributed to Noah in this passage. But once again, that perfection is not of his own merit. He was perfect. How? The same way we are, through the perfect righteousness of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That righteousness and that perfection stood out in his day in stark contrast to all those around him who were wicked and rebellious against God. He walked with God through faith just as Enoch had done. He walked in faith. He walked in obedience. He walked in prayer. He walked in agreement with the holy will of God. And he walked in bold witness to his generation as for 100 years while he was building the ark, he continued to proclaim the judgment of God to come upon wickedness of sinners and called upon them to repent. But God's will for Noah was not like that will for Enoch. Instead of taking Noah to be with him, God was with Noah and his family to deliver them, to protect them from the wicked ones prior to the coming of the flood, and then protecting and providing for them through the flood and afterwards as well. We'll see, of course, much more about this as we look at Noah in future sermons. Now, the question for you today from all of this is, do you walk with God? Do you walk with Him by faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you walk with Him in obedience to His holy will that is revealed in Holy Scripture? Do you walk with Him through prayer daily? Do you pray to the Lord Almighty through Christ? Do you walk with him in agreement with his holy will. Do you agree that what God says is good and right is good and right, and what God hates, you also hate? Do you walk with him in bold witness as you testify to others that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners? If you do not, then I urge you to trust in him today. For as in the days of Noah, as judgment was about to come upon the world in the form of a flood, so in our day and in the future, judgment is about to come upon this world in flaming fire when Jesus Christ returns. And at that time, it will be too late to seek to turn from any sin and trust in him then. So if you've never done so before, I urge you to do so today. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him by faith and walk with him all the days of your life. Amen. Let us pray again. Almighty, gracious, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you for who you are. You are the sovereign King, the sovereign Lord, the sovereign Redeemer of all. Father, my prayer is that all who are watching or listening today might indeed walk with you, that all of us would walk with you by faith, that we would walk in obedience to your commands, that we would walk in agreement with you, that we would fulfill your holy will, that we would love what you love and hate what you hate, and that we would be bold witnesses in our walk with Jesus Christ. Please bring that about even today. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to continuing our study in Genesis next time.